say.
Wisdom is knowledgeable, and when you do things, it makes sense.
Well, being smart, yes.
It's about the person itself, right? Like, a person has to be smart and has to come from the soul.
Having a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, I guess.
Wisdom is like knowing what is right and wrong, and intelligence is learning what is right and wrong.
No idea.
Experience, being through something and learn from book, internet, definitely.
Through spirituality.
Okay. They learn through experience.
I don't know, go to school.
I don't know, I guess the age, maybe some experience.
From experience.
Age. Yeah. The older you get, the wiser you get. It says in the book.
I think everybody got a talent, so everybody is wisdom. The most wisest thing in the world is Wikipedia.
Okay.
You get everything in the internet.
Oh, somebody in the government and in finance and banking and so on. Okay.
Gandhi.
Confucius.
Well, I don't like to say it, but I'm going to. I like Clinton. I think he was very wise.
Okay.
My daughter.
Your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Me. Okay. Yes, I should be running the world. I'm sick of these leaders because they're not wise.
Do you know why manhole covers are round?
Yeah. I usually lift them up. So if they're a rectangle or a square, they won't fit properly. But they're round, they'll always fit when you put them in.
Probably easier to slip in.
Okay.
Easier to get back on.
It makes sense and people like it and... Also safety something.
I don't know, should be easier to fall in them? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, just in case you missed it or you couldn't hear it, the last question was, do you know why manhole covers are round? Why is it that they're not another shape, but they've made them round? And that may seem like a really random question to you, but that question is actually part... It's a question that Microsoft asks all of its prospective employees as part of a standardized intelligence test. If you don't know the answer, you're apparently not smart enough to work at Microsoft. I didn't know the answer. The answer is that a manhole cover is round so that no matter how much you twist it or turn it, it cannot fall into the hole. If it was another shape, it could. So that's the answer. Now you can get a job at Microsoft and you can thank me later. But you know, being able to answer a standardized intelligence question may help you land a job at Microsoft, but in the grand scheme of things, the other questions, what is wisdom? How do you become wise? Are far more important. We are beginning a new series today on the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book that is all about wisdom. It is a book that invites all of us to become wise. It is a book that instructs us how to become wise. And it is a book that grants us access to the very wisdom of God. Throughout the summer, we'll be making our way through Proverbs chapters 1 to 9, and today we're going to be focusing on the first 7 verses of Proverbs chapter 1, the introduction to the book of Proverbs, page 527, if you're using a pew Bible, comes right on the heels of the book of Psalms. Now, before I read these opening verses, let me make a confession to you and tell you that I'm a bit of a cynic at heart. You know, I think we live in a day of hype and spin and marketing and outrageous claims made by those wanting to sell a product. I mean, I think we've all maybe been fooled at times by, you know, a movie trailer that made this new release look like it was going to be the best thing to ever come to the big screen, only to go and find out that we're completely disappointed in the actual product. Maybe you've had that experience. Most of us have probably had a similar experience with claims made on the back cover of a book at some point. I went and took a look at the claims made on a couple of recent bestsellers. One very popular book offered a simple way to improve your life for good and help you experience victory, joy, and satisfaction every day. It sounds pretty good, and it sounds pretty simple. A recent parenting bestseller is called Have a New Kid by Friday. And the book contains a 5-day action plan. Apparently, that's all it takes to transform your household. The back of the book contains this endorsement. Read this book and follow the simple principles, and you'll have a new kid by Friday, guaranteed. Wow. I mean, unless this book is offering some sort of mail order service where you can kind of ship your kids off and get new ones in the return by mail, I'm a little bit skeptical of claims like that. But this is the kind of stuff we hear all the time. I mean, shelves are filled with marriage books that offer 3 simple steps to transform your relationship. Shelves are filled with diet books that offer a new twist on, you know, basically sit back and just magically watch the pounds melt away. And if you're anything like me, then experience has taught you to be a little bit skeptical when you encounter such claims. But I want you to imagine for a moment that there really is a book that will completely transform your life. Everything from your work situation to your finances to your relationships to your walk with God. And what if I told you further that this book was only 25 pages long? That's it. This is essentially what the opening verses of Proverbs promise us. It will transform everything about our lives and make us wise. So let's read verses 1-7 of Proverbs chapter 1. It begins this way, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, these verses form the introduction to the book of Proverbs. They tell us that by reading and applying this book, we can know wisdom. They tell us that even if we are young or simple now, we can become wise. They tell us that if we're already wise or already have understanding, we can become even wiser by spending time in this book. They tell us that we will be able to understand some of the riddles of life. This should make us all sit up and take notice. These are lofty claims, but all of them and more will be ours if we follow the practical wisdom found in this book. Now, before we unpack everything that is in these verses, I want to begin by giving you a definition for wisdom. Now, the dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. Well, I don't even know what some of those words mean, so let me give you a simpler definition. Wisdom is the skill to navigate life well. It's the skill to navigate life well. Now, Tremper Longman III puts a little more flesh on that definition when he says, wisdom is the skill of living. It is a practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations. Wisdom entails the ability to avoid problems and the skill to handle them when they present themselves. I think that's a good working definition of what wisdom is. But I want to delve a little bit deeper and explain specifically what these opening verses teach us about wisdom. The first thing we need to understand is that wisdom is never merely intellectual, but always practical. Listen again to verses 2 and 3. to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. These verses contain a number of words that are synonyms for wisdom. But I want you to notice that all of those terms have a practical bent to them. We are told that wisdom is about insight. Insight comes from this word that basically means between. It means to decide between two things and to take the right course. It says here that we receive instruction in wise dealing, that we're able to deal wisely with our situations. It uses terms like righteousness, justice, and equity. And none of those terms can be limited to academic pursuits. They are all terms that have to do with everyday life, with decision making, and with a standard of conduct or a way of life. The overarching word here is the word wisdom. It comes from the Hebrew word chokmah. And this word chokmah essentially means skill. It can be used to refer to having skill in the arts, or in craftsmanship, or in politics, or in leadership. But primarily, the word, as it's used in the book of Proverbs, refers to skill in living. The word always carries the idea of applied knowledge. And so I've said wisdom is the skill to navigate life well. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 30 just to demonstrate that wisdom is not about intelligence, pure and simple. Proverbs 30, 24 to 28 says this: four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, you can catch it, yet it is in king's palaces. Now notice that these verses do not say that these creatures possess amazing intellect, but they possess wisdom. They are exceedingly wise. And their wisdom is demonstrated by their ability to navigate life well. Ants gather their food in the summer when it is available so that they have enough food to get them through the winter when the food is not so available. That's what wisdom looks like. It's very practical. And I think it's humbling to think that in this sense, ants are much wiser than many people who have staggering intellects, who never seem to wrap their heads around the fact that they need to prepare for the winters in their lives. But ants do that. They're wise creatures. And I think understanding that wisdom is practical and not just intellectual is especially important in our day. We live in the information age. Knowledge is accessible to us in completely unprecedented ways. I mean, if you have a question about something, you can Google it or you can look it up on Wikipedia, and within seconds, you have an answer. There are more university-trained or university-educated people today than at any other time in world history. And yet, despite all this higher learning and despite these vast storehouses of information and knowledge, there seems to be very little wisdom today. It's a rare commodity. And what we need to remember is that there can be a vast difference between wisdom and knowledge. I mean, this explains why there are so many smart people who end up doing really dumb things. You see, knowledge can tell you that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. We all learned that somewhere along the way. But wisdom can tell you the best route to take between these two points, even if it's not a straight line. That's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom always has this practical bent to it. There have been a number of recent studies done demonstrating that, you know, once you get to a certain point, difference in IQ levels has very little bearing on success in life. There's a fascinating chapter in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. The chapter is called The Trouble with Geniuses, and it basically documents this difference between wisdom and knowledge. And he chronicles it with the story of a man named Christopher Langan. Now, maybe you've never heard of Christopher Langan, but Christopher Langan has been called the smartest man in America. Einstein had an IQ of 150. Christopher's Langan IQ comes in at 195. But here's the thing. Mr. Langan's high IQ has not translated into the ability to navigate life well. He's had trouble holding down a steady job. He's had trouble maintaining steady relationships. The very practical things that wisdom allows you to do. And the reason is because there's not always a correlation between analytical intelligence and practical intelligence. Those things are said to be orthogonal, which is just a fancy way of saying that the presence of one doesn't necessarily imply the presence of the other. You can be very smart and still not wise. And conversely, you may never have gone to graduate school or completed a university degree or even made it through high school, and you can still be wise. There's a difference often between knowledge and wisdom. Now, I know this is kind of theoretical, and I want to make this practical for us all. I want you to listen to how James makes this same point in the New Testament. He does it with a question in James chapter 3. He says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his academic degrees." It's not what he says. He says, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And so here's the question to think about. Are you a wise person? And part of the way you know is by examining your own life and the decisions you are making. Do they line up with God's wisdom? Are you living wisely? There's something further we learn about wisdom from these verses, namely that wisdom doesn't come naturally or with age, but it is accessible for everyone. Listen to verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Well, this verse identifies two groups who desperately need wisdom, the simple and the youth or the young. Now, when the book of Proverbs refers to those who are simple, it is not a comment that they lack some sort of mental ability. It's a reference to those who are naive or gullible. It's a reference to those who are easily persuaded. The simple are those who are mentally and morally uncommitted. So they need wisdom. The term youth or young that is used here has reference to both age and to maturity. The young are those who basically stand on the threshold of adulthood and they face a choice about which path they will take in life. And they need wisdom to help them decide. I think one of the implications from this verse, that the young need wisdom, is that people are not born wise. We need to be taught. We need to learn wisdom. I mean, we often hear people refer to common sense. But if you've spent any time with people, then you know that common sense is not very common. But I would go further than that and say that our default setting is not wisdom or sensibility. Our default setting is foolishness. Later in Proverbs, Solomon puts it this way, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child." Now, if you've raised kids or you have kids, then you know this. Children are not born with wisdom or even as blank slates. They are born with a propensity to do foolish things. We all are. Now, part of the reason those who are young lack wisdom is simply because they lack experience, and they need experience to help teach them. A friend of mine was telling me about a recent learning experience his teenage son had. His son is quite a bright kid. I mean, the brain power is not an issue. He just graduated from high school. He'll be attending university on a scholarship. And so to celebrate, as a graduation gift, his parents bought him a MacBook computer with one stipulation. He had to be the one to fill out the rebate form and send it in so his parents would get like $100 back in the mail. Now, he had 30 days to do it. But he sort of kept putting it off and putting it off, and he finally got several reminders from his parents, and so he said, okay, I'll tell you what, tonight I'm going to go into my room, I'm going to fill out that rebate form, and I'm not coming out until it's done. Well, he came out a couple hours later, and they said, how did it go? And he said, well, I'm almost done filling out the form. I've got everything filled out, except I couldn't find the APT number on the box. So he said, you know, in the morning, I'm going to try again, and I'm going to finish it and mail it off. The next morning, he spent a good hour combing over every square inch of that box, but he could not find the APT number. Finally, he got his mom to help him. She said, okay, I'll help you. She looked at the form, name, address, APT number, postal code, and it became clear that what they were looking for was simply the apartment number. Now, I would venture to guess that's a mistake he'll never make again. Experience can be a good teacher that way. In fact, one of the ways of describing a proverb is a short sentence founded on long experience. And so as we go through life, we have the opportunity to learn from our mistakes. But here's the thing. Not everyone does learn from their mistakes. And that's why I said that wisdom doesn't necessarily come with age either. This is the answer most people give. You become wise by experience or by living a long time. It's not true. As one keen observer put it, wisdom doesn't automatically come with old age. Nothing does, except wrinkles. It's true that some wines improve with age, but only if the grapes were good in the first place. You know, just as we've all seen really smart people do really dumb things, so we've all met old people who weren't wise but foolish. Listen to the way Solomon described this very problem in the book of Ecclesiastes. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to take warning. As a matter of fact, this is one of the ways you can distinguish a wise person from a foolish person. The distinction between the two has not so much to do with how much experience you've had, but how much you have learned from your experiences. See, some people just repeat the same mistakes over and over again. You never get wise by doing that. Proverbs captures this memorably with these words. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And many people live with that very pattern. It's the same unhealthy types of relationships over and over again. The same poor financial decisions over and over again. That's not how you get wisdom. So the bad news is that we weren't born wise, and the even worse news is that we won't become wise simply by living a long time. But the good news is that wisdom is available to all of us. You don't need to be really smart to gain wisdom. In fact, you're more likely to become wise if you recognize that you are, like these verses describe us, simple. Let me take you back to what James tells us in the New Testament for a minute. James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, this verse is often misunderstood, and it's taken to mean something like, you know, you face a difficult decision in life, and you just pray about it and ask for wisdom, and poof, you become wise, you make the right decision, and off you go on your merry way. That's not what the verse is teaching us. What the verse is saying is that if we recognize that we lack wisdom, if we recognize that we are simple and we need wisdom, or that we're young and we need wisdom, or that we're more advanced in years and we still lack wisdom, and if we ask God on a regular basis for his wisdom, and if we search it out, he will give it to us. And one of the primary ways God grants us his wisdom is through his word. And so we're instructed here to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Search it out. Now, I told you at the start that I'm a bit of a cynic. But when it comes to the promises made in these verses, I have absolute confidence in the benefits they promise. And part of the reason I say that is because this is God's word. But part of the reason I say that has to do with my own experience with the book of Proverbs. Very early in my Christian life, when I was still young, someone pointed out to me that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, the same number of chapters as there are days in most months. And I began the practice of reading a chapter of Proverbs every day, and I did that month after month after month for I don't know how many months. And as a young, basically a young punk who lacked wisdom, doing that over and over again, that exercise proved hugely fruitful to me and continues to bear fruit in my life. There's wisdom available to us if we will take it. Well, there's a third thing we learn about wisdom in these opening verses, and that is that wisdom is not something we can master because it only comes to those who are teachable. Verse 5 says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." So verse 4 is addressed to those on one end of the continuum, to the simple and to the youth. And they are told, look here, you will become wise. Verse 5 is addressed to those on the other end of the continuum, those who are already wise, those who already have understanding. But notice that they are instructed just as forcefully to seek wisdom. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, is how the NIV puts it. And I would say that this is the definition of what a wise person looks like. A wise person is always seeking to add to their learning. They never feel like they've arrived or they've got everything figured out. They still show up with notebooks expecting to learn something. I think this is true in every area of life. It's one of the things I have observed over the years in working with families. You know, it's often puzzled me that it seems like those who need to be there the least are those who are most likely to show up to training events and to classes. And those who need to be there the most are the ones who never or seldom seem to show up. You know, it always seems like it's those who already have good marriages who come to marriage enrichment events and retreats and those sorts of things. This is what wise people do. They take a look at their lives. They say, yes, this is going in the right direction. It's going well, but I want to know how to make it better. It's what a wise person does. They add to their learning. The key to becoming wise is maintaining a teachable spirit throughout life. The book of Proverbs repeatedly makes this point. Proverbs 12:15 puts it this way: "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." And so we're faced with asking ourselves, you know, are we a person who just decides in our own eyes this is what is right, or do we listen to good counsel? Proverbs 26:12 puts it this way: "Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." This is a person without a teachable spirit. He'll never become wise. This is not all that different from what Jesus taught in the New Testament when he said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, Jesus' point was not that there were some who were healthy and some who were sick, some who were righteous and some who were sinners. His point was that all of us are sick. All of us are sinners. but it's only those who acknowledge their need who will get help. And in the same way, it's only those who recognize that they have a desperate need for God's wisdom in their lives who will get it. So these verses remind us we need to be teachable. We need to learn from our mistakes. We need to learn from God's instruction in our lives. Let me make a final observation about wisdom, and this may be the most important thing we need to understand. Wisdom is not static, but always directly proportional to our relationship with God. Verse 7 is the foundational verse for the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, with some variation, this phrase occurs 18 times in the book of Proverbs. It's obviously a key concept. Wisdom comes from God alone. So we should not read the book of Proverbs as sort of a collection of clever little phrases or nice ideas. We should read the book of Proverbs as an invitation to a relationship with God. Now, I said at the start that these opening verses make some pretty lofty claims about what we can expect from this book and how we can become wise by reading and applying it. But we should not think that simply reading the book of Proverbs will automatically make us wise. Proverbs itself makes this abundantly clear when it says, "Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of a fool." Proverbs reminds us that Proverbs are basically useless if we don't align our lives with the wisdom that they dispense. Or Proverbs 26:9, which says, "Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool." And this proverb reminds us that a little knowledge can be dangerous. The point is that simply reading the book or even memorizing some of the Proverbs will not make you wise. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. As we live daily with the fear of the Lord before us, we become wise. This expression, the fear of the Lord, is a phrase that's found throughout the Old Testament. And it combines two ideas. It combines the idea of shrinking back in fear as we come to understand God's awesomeness. And it combines that with drawing close in awe as we come to understand God's awesomeness. This phrase, or this in this phrase, it's the fear of the Lord. Lord is God's covenant relational name. This is the dominant name for God used in the book of Proverbs. It is used 87 times. And so we're invited here at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs to attain wisdom by being in relationship with the source of wisdom. Now, I said here that wisdom is not static, which is a way of saying that our relationship with wisdom is not sort of a once wise, always wise type of relationship. We don't kind of get wisdom once and then just coast the rest of our lives. I want you to look back at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. The Proverbs of Solomon. Now, if you know anything about the life of Solomon, then you know that his life was really quite tragic. I mean, here was a man who started out with so much promise. When he became king, he didn't ask God for riches or for long life or for military power. He asked God for wisdom. And God answered his prayer. Solomon became the wisest man alive. But in the later years of his life, Solomon didn't hang on to his wisdom. Solomon was seduced by power. He was led astray by multiple wives and concubines, and he ended up worshiping other gods. It's a tragic story, but it's one that gets repeated all the time. And so I think it's very fitting for us at the outset of this series on the book of Proverbs, at the outset of this series that is all about how to gain wisdom, just to examine our own lives, our own relationship with God? Are we just kind of coasting through, or do we have this fear of the Lord before us? That's how we become wise. Let's pray together. Father, your word describes you as God all-wise. And Lord, we come to you as the source of wisdom. We acknowledge our own foolishness, our own lack of wisdom. And Lord, we pray that as we make our way through this book this summer, that you would in fact grant us your wisdom, that we would have insight and discernment to know what kind of decisions to make, that we would have your perspective, a long-term view on what lies before us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us and find opportunities for us to point others to you as the source of wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.